This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Coming up, we're going to talk to Darryl Walker. He is the head basketball coach at Clark Atlanta. Former NBA star. Coach just walked in. I said, you can shoot a little bit. He's like, nah. If you didn't see him play, he could shoot it and fill it up. We'll get to how good they're playing and the big rivalry matchup that's coming up Thursday night. Before we get to that, one of the big stories we've been talking about today, and guys, it's National Signing Day. We've been talking about it. We'll continue to talk about it throughout the course of the afternoon as Georgia has the number one recruiting class in the country. But the other big story NFL-wise, and we'll get more into this in the NFL Blitz here in about 20 minutes, is Josh McDaniels turning down the Colts job. He had agreed to become the new head coach, decides to go back to New England, remain as their OC after talking with Coach Belichick, talking with Robert Kraft, their owner. But, Mike, you brought up something interesting about one side of this story that a lot of people may not be talking about.
Yeah, Sporting News had this earlier in the week saying just how healthy is Andrew Luck and his arm. Remember, he didn't play football last year. A lot of guys were saying, what's going on? There were some rumors that apparently got some steam that perhaps he was going to require a second surgery. And you start hearing things about that, you begin to wonder, well, you know, let's talk about this guy's future in the league, period. Now, was that a reason that maybe Josh McDaniels was scared off in addition to Bob Kraft throwing some more loot at him? But the GM, Chris Ballard, says there's nothing to anything about Andrew Luck needing more arm surgery. They expect him to be under center for the Colts this fall.
Yeah.
But again, remember last year they sandbagged the thing all the way through
all
the summer.
Way through, yeah, they kept misleading us by saying he was ready and he'll be back. Wasn't it the owner Ursay, or maybe it was the head coach at one point, said, I haven't seen him throw. And we're both like, what?
How yeah, Chuck, it was Chuck Pagano.
Chuck Pagano,
was no longer there as head coach.
How are you going to be the head coach and not see the guy throw? So that is a sidebar to this story, guys, that we're following. Either way, McDaniels is not going to be the coach. The Colts are moving forward. But was that something that had him worried about the future? Listen, we said it. If you're Matt Patricia and you leave, you've got a quarterback in Matthew Stafford.
Right.
You're Andrew Luck. You leave to go be the Colts head coach. You think you got a quarterback, unless you don't.
So, in which case, now, it'd be interesting to see where they go with the draft and if the quarterback is maybe higher than people expect, and that'll certainly be a tell about Andrew Luck's future.
All right, more to come in the NFL Blitz. We say good afternoon as he joins us in studio. Darryl Walker right here. And, Coach, we appreciate you jumping in. First of all, congratulations on the success this season. It's been a really good season thus far.
It's been a fun ride. Really happy for my guys. They put the work in. You know, you don't win games without having players.
Right.
Don't ever let nobody trick you with that.
And, Coach, I mean, we're going to talk about the school and the job. Now, I know as a guy that played at the highest level at the NBA, you ever get sick of guys? We always joke around about jock sniffers because I grew up a big Knicks fan. And Bernard King and you, man, back in the day. Man, Carl, this guy could make some shots.
He could fill it up.
And did Bernard ever have a hand that works? It always seemed like his fingers were taped together on a baseline.
He had some dislocated fingers. Didn't stop her from scoring, though.
No, not at all, man. But no, we were just talking. It was funny because the conversation came up about Patrick Ewing. Remember that, Carl, the other day? We were talking about the NBA and the lottery. And, man, just how excited it was when that big dude arrived.
I was on that team when Patrick arrived. That was my second year.
Those who don't know, and we're talking to Darryl Walker, the coach at Clark Atlanta, who played in the league for over a decade. What was it like playing in New York at that time?
It was great. I mean, the Garden is always going to be a special place, man. I mean, it's just a wonderful place. It's the mecca of basketball. The fans are so knowledgeable. It's like the Eagles fans. They're knowledgeable about football. And that's the way they are in the Garden at the mecca, man. And it was a great place to play. You know, play with Bernard King, who's a Hall of Fame player. And it was really great to play there.
Well, I'm just looking back. Was that the best time in your career? What was the best place for you?
New York is going to always be special. Had some good years playing in Washington when Bernard King came back off his knee injury and then getting cut by the Pistons and winning the championship with Chicago Bulls in 1993. So I had a couple of good places I really enjoyed.
Yeah, and that 93 team, guys, I mean, obviously one of those historic teams you talk about with Jordan and Pippen and company, and Darryl was a part of that squad. Now he is the coach of Clark Atlanta. Now, did you always know you wanted to be a coach?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to coach in college a long time ago, even when I was assistant coach with the Pistons, and then with Mike Woodson in New York. At the same time, when I was in Detroit, I was taking classes online. And then I called Terry Mercer, who's a longtime secretary at the University of Arkansas. And she was just catching up, talking basketball. And I told her I was going to school with Phoenix Online. Phoenix Online, you need to call. I forgot who she told me to call. And University of Arkansas wound up paying for me to finish school.
Wow.
Which was great. And I knew I wanted to coach in college. I knew I would never get another shot in the NBA again. It's just the way it is. And I hold no grudges against anybody else. But I had always wanted to coach in college.
How much fun are you having this year with Clark?
I'm having a ball. I had a bunch of fun last year.
Because we talked about the Morehouse, and again, this is a huge, huge rivalry coming up on Thursday night.
Yes,
and
it is.
And it's even more, you know, extra sauce now because both you guys are kicking butt this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody asked me, a reporter asked me a question yesterday. I said, look, it's just another game for me. I'm game planning just like I game planned for the Claflin game we lost down there to Claflin. I said, so I've been in too many big games to get excited now for my players. Oh, it's North Carolina and Duke. It's no doubt about that. It's right there. It's no doubt about that. But I'm just trying to take it one game at a time, and that's what I've been doing. But as far as me getting excited and all hyped up, no, not me.
Coach, tell us about your team, your leading score. What's your squad look like as far as for those who may want to come out Thursday night, check this game out, hadn't had a chance to see Clark Atlanta this year?
We play a fun type of basketball. I call it the RSO offense, and I'll let you two try to figure that out before I get finished. But we I call it the RSO, and we defend. We get up and down the court. We play a really exciting style of basketball. We run a lot of NBA pro sets and do a lot of things that's exciting.
Anthony Williams, assist guy, handing out a lot of assists.
Yeah, he's done great since Austin Donaldson, who was my starting point guard, and AJ was playing at the two spot. Tore up his ACL, but we haven't missed a beat, and we're just moving along. AJ's playing well. He's not turning the ball over. Anytime you have a point guard that doesn't turn the ball over, that's good for you as a coach.
RSO, I'm like, run, slam, no? I'm trying to figure out the acronym here.
You're close.
Run, shoot option?
Run, shoot offense.
There you go.
We run, shoot offense. I call it the RSO. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. I talked to my guys a year ago. I said, look, I don't mind you guys taking shots. I know the game has changed. I said, but you're going to defend first. I said, if we defend, first man down, first man can shoot if it's a good look. Only if it's a good look. If it's not a good look, you can't take the shot. My team has bought into it. They bought into it last year. They bought into this year. We average about 81, give up about 69. So we try to defend and score.
That's a fun style to watch, by the way. I mean, especially at the collegiate level, you know, you're getting up and down as a kid. Why? And I say this, as young men, why would you not want to go play in that kind of system? You know, and I remember we talked about this, you know, Loyola Marymount back in the day.
Yeah, right.
And, you know,
Paul Westhead.
All those teams that got up and down, and you were like, man, these guys are scoring 100 points a game. And it was just fun to watch. And I know that's kind of, you know, look, I want you guys to have fun.
I'm just a little opposite of that. I do want to play a little defense.
Yeah, they played none. You're right about that. They didn't play any.
I do want to play a little defense. Now, don't get me wrong. The game has changed, man. Golden State probably averages 115 and probably give up 110. But at the end of the day, as long as they're on the plus side of that,
right,
you get the W, that's all that counts.
It is Darryl Walker with us here from Clark Atlanta, 40-14, by the way, in his second year. And again, Panthers in action against Morehouse. We talked about it. Had the Morehouse coach on the other day. So big rival. All those coaches, it's just another game.
It is to me.
Don't yell at me, man. I'm right here. Coach, what about the when you watch the NBA, man, you get a kick out?
I don't watch it.
Okay, because we talk about like the physical nature. Well, hold on. We're going to get to that. The guys think physical is like, you know, well, nothing would be called physical when you played in the 80s.
No. I mean, the game has changed, and I have my generation. Everybody's had their generation. Right. It's like comparing Dick Butkus and Ray Lewis. They're totally two different players, so two different styles. It's just all different. But, hey, the league's in a good spot right now. I don't watch it. All I watch is really a lot of college basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm a college coach. I've moved on from the NBA.
You don't watch it?
No.
I'm really,
I mean, you know, SportsCenter, you
sure,
fitness
highlights,
TV.
Highlights.
You may stop for 2 years.
But you're not investing in the game.
If you call watching the game for 3 minutes, then flicking on,
no,
watching the game, that's not watching the game.
No, not at all. And I'm curious, as we talk with Coach Darryl Walker here, is that a function of you just being around all your life and you're like, look, I've been there, done that? Or is it you just have no interest in today's game?
Man, I mean, today's game is exciting style. There's no doubt about that. But I'm more interested in watching college basketball. Seeing what zone defense or zone offense I can steal from some coach, write it down on a sheet of paper. And look, the NBA is not going to change, man. It's going to be side pick and roll, high pick and roll, ISO. it is what it is. That's what it is. That's not going to change.
No, you're right. Shot making and, yes. And that all that, yes.
But Golden State plays a wonderful style of basketball. It's really exciting. They really move the ball. They share the ball. You got three guys that can flat out score that really share the basketball and don't mind sharing the ball, which is rare in today's game.
No, it certainly is. Hey, speaking of college basketball, have you had a chance, since you watch a lot of it, to watch Trae Young at Oklahoma? Have you seen this young man?
Really a special talent, can flat out shoot it. I really like that he can really set up his teammates. It's hard to get 30 and assist at the same time, and he's able to do that. So you put him with some NBA players, and he's going to be really special, I think.
I guess the argument for us is, do you want to go to a guy like Marvin Bagley, who can basically do everything, you know,
I think
guy that can be transformed. Everybody wants the next Steph Curry.
I think we're all forgetting about the big boy out there in Arizona, Ayton. I think that's how you pronounce his name, big center.
He is.
Oh, God. He's a freak of nature, quiet as kept, to be that big, that young, that athletic, can run, can shoot it, can make his free throws for a big. It all depends on who's drafted at those first three spots. What do I need if I get the number one pick? If the Boston Celtics get the number one pick, do they take Young? No. Because they got Kyrie there. Mm-hmm. They're gonna think about Bagley and the kid from Arizona for sure.
So he is a big man worth taking in an NBA that's gotten away from the big man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. He's really – and Bagley just reminds me really of a more athletic Chris Bosh. That's what he reminds me of.
Good example.
It reminds me of Chris Bosh.
Yeah, and he's talking about Bagley at Duke, guys. It is Darryl Walker here in studio with us. It's Dukes and Bell. He is Clark Atlanta's head basketball coach. They got a big rivalry game coming up Thursday night, 7:30. It's Morehouse. Now, you've seen them on film. What concerns you about Morehouse?
Well, they're gonna get the ball up and down the court. So our transition defense must be at a premium. It has to be at a premium. We work on it all the time. And to be honest about it, my guys have done a great job in transition defense all year. We got to get back and build a wall. Tyrus Walker is really a special little guard over there at Morehouse, so we got to be ready. And to me, look, you're 20-some games of the season. Ain't nobody changing anything. You have to do what you do. I'm going to do what I do offensively, and I'm going to do what I do defensively and let the chips fall where they fall. Hey, look, it's six going to be – after this game, it's going to be four games left in the conference,
right,
man.
Right.
Ain't nobody's changing anything. You just got to go play and believe in what you teach to your guys.
Now, again, Grady Brewer's making it sound like it's a big game. Coach is saying it's just another game, Carl.
Yeah. But it's not a big game to me. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Right.
I mean that it's to me, I'm looking at it, I'm taking it game by game. Yes, it's big in the aspect that, yes, whoever wins is totally in first place. Yeah, it's big in that order. But far as, you know, and maybe because I'm new to college, you know, and Coach Brewer's been there for a while and he knows how big the rivalry is. And I do, too. But I try to keep an even keel. Don't get too high and don't get too low.
The championship team you played on, what made that team so special? Not Michael Jordan. What made that team so special?
Michael Jordan.
Period?
Period.
Okay. What makes him special from a player's perspective?
His details to the game, his love of the game, and his work ethic. It's some guys I can call it that I play with that practice like it was a game. Bernard King was one of them. And Michael Jordan was definitely one of them. It was unbelievable how intense he was in practice, how competitive he was in practice. And far as his competitiveness, he would bet you on who can pour the water out of the fastest bottle right here. So, you know, the guy was a straight mm-hmm. competitor and a straight killer. And he made Scottie Pippen a better player. But don't get it twisted. Now, he could never win without Scottie Pippen.
Right, right.
And I got to say that because Scottie, he learned from Michael. He learned how to be a pro. He learned how to practice hard. And it paid off for both of them. They both won.
So are you telling me in many cases, and we hear this all the time with great teams, the practices were harder than the games in many cases?
Well, if the good teams do practice hard. In the 80s, teams practice hard all the time. Teams don't practice anymore.
No, they don't.
They don't do that. You got to rest guys. Oh, he got this load. He gets too many loads. They got chips in the back of their shirts. Oh, he's ran too many miles. And
well, that's like Tom Thibodeau. That's the thing. That's like the old school. Those guys don't want to play for a coach like that anymore.
And I'm just laughing, going, really? Really? If I'm making $10 million, you can practice me twice a day if you want to.
Daryl, what about as Daryl Walker joins us? We're talking a little NBA, guys.
Hey, by the way, I mean,
obviously, Clark Atlanta's basketball coach.
Just because you had the one season with Chicago. Phil Jackson, you know, obviously you have to what happened with the Knicks, but I mean, legendary coach. But anything special to you about what Phil was doing and his message when you were there?
I just think Phil brought to the Chicago Bulls and a lot of other teams just a calmness, a belief in yourself, and really to execute and practice. And so the game would be easy. And he was always detailed. And you can say what you want about Phil. People are a little jealous sometimes. Yeah, it's not his fault that he was able to coach Michael and Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah.
Hey, every other coach wish they had those teams too, but they didn't. But at the end of the day, even if you have a talented team, you still must gel that team. You still must deal with the egos, and you still have to win. And Phil did that. So he's a great coach.
What about the officials today versus your day?
I don't see all this stuff going on with officials. If I watched a lot of pro basketball, then I could really talk about it. But I don't watch pro basketball. I really don't, guys. I watch college basketball. When I played, you had Daryl Garrison and Jake O'Donnell and Earl Strom. You had some legendary Hall of Fame officials. You probably could
get away with a little bit.
You probably could talk more to those guys.
And yeah, right.
They probably would talk back to you and say some things back to you, but wouldn't give you a technical list, let you just get out of control with it. So it's different now. I assume that I see a lot of guys getting tossed out of games, a lot of confrontation, and that's not good for the game.
Real quick, Coach, what do you want to do ultimately? Do you see yourself one day maybe in the NBA? Are you going to stay at the collegiate level? Where do you see yourself?
I'm a college guy and would love to stay in college. Not trying to go to the NBA, unless somebody comes all of a sudden and gives me something I can't refuse. But I really like college, and I'm excited about it. All my friends in the NBA thought I was crazy when I took the job. I interviewed for a few jobs in college, and all they would tell me was, your resume is great, but you never coached in college. And I go, you're absolutely right. I haven't coached in college. I've coached at the highest level you can go in my profession. Mm-hmm. And it made no sense to me that, ADs would tell me, well, it's different. You got rules. Well, everybody got to learn the rules. You got guys been coaching for 25 years still breaking rules. So what's the rules?
Daryl Walker, head basketball coach at Clark Atlanta with us here, man. Great to get to meet you, Coach. Always good to see you. Knickerbocker in the studio. And best of luck against Morehouse.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
man.
So
good
much.
Stuff, Coach.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
By
appreciate
the way, guys, 7:30 Thursday night, Morehouse, Clark Atlanta. It's going to be home. Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to talk to Stephen Holder, Indianapolis Star reporter. He follows the Colts. What happened? And where do they go from here? We'll get the 411 from that situation with Josh McDaniels and the fallout. We're going to get to an NFL blitz. Before we do, as we've been talking about all day, National Signing Day today, and the Dogs have the number one class in the country. This coming from the press conference, which Kirby had, and I just retweeted it. Zach Klein put it out there. Talking about the rankings, and Kirby says, I know you guys want to talk about the rankings, but that does not float my boat. He then says, three of these guys we signed got Ivy League offers. 20-plus are two-sport guys. And then he says 13 of the kids we signed played for state championships.
Mm-hmm.
Great winners, great kids. To me, that's the culture we're talking about. And I've said this. When you're going, you want kids that have played at that level and know what it's like to be in those big games. Right. That stuff matters. You know, and no disrespect to the kids that don't get a chance to play for state championships, but when you talk about having that experience and then now I'm going to the next level, you understand what competing for a championship is about.
And that's what's so funny sometimes when you see guys that, whether they're AAU guys or high school, they go in the NBA draft, Carl, and then they're playing for a team that wins 17 or 18 games a year, or an NFL team, you go to the Browns when you've been a rock star your whole life. You might not have lost 5 games in your high school career.
That's right.
Or your college career. Next thing you know, you just lost an entire season. So, but I get you. The psychology of the kind of competitors and winners that you want, in addition to some guys who can also hit the books, what Kirby was trying to tell you. We'll give you more of his interview from the SEC Network coming up at 4 o'clock in the Dog Report.
All right, man, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Hey. Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
As we've been discussing today, Josh McDaniels backs out. Chris Ballard is the general manager of the Colts, by the way. He's really well-liked around the league, highly respected. He basically says, you know what, we're going to continue to push forward and move forward. They've already, Mike, got some guys that they're going to interview. You brought up Frank Reich, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles being one of them. They'll find their head coach. But you just rarely see this happen in the NFL. Collegiately, all the time, guys back out of jobs.
Now, remember, when Belichick backs out of the Jets job in the 90s, that's because Parcells is trying to prevent him from talking to Bob Kraft. That's where the sore feelings, which maybe they finally glossed over in that 30 for 30, were addressed. But here's one where, you know, Josh is committed. Guys have already been hired from his staff. Those guys are under contract. You've got an offensive or assistant coordinator. You've got a defensive coordinator. Those guys are now committed. And that's awkward now because a new coach is going to come in, probably want his guys, and now you got Josh's guys there. The more interesting thing, and we talked about this briefly before we talked to Coach, general manager Chris Ballard talking to the media, and Andrew Siciliano, Mr. Ears, from NFL Network has this, Carl, about, about Andrew Luck. Now, tell me if this is a ringing endorsement that Andrew Luck is A-OK. Quote, at this point, we feel strongly that Andrew is in a good place. He doesn't need surgery. This is after last year we told you before we spoke with Coach Walker in the 3 o'clock hour here, that they completely sandbagged the media up until almost Labor Day about what was going on with Andrew Luck. So I don't know if you combine bags of money from Bob Kraft with the fact that old Mr. Neckbeard might not be throwing the football, maybe that's part of it too.
Nobody's talking either. I mean, we've gotten him on the show, Mike. I know Andrew. I know his father. Yeah. Dad's not saying anything. Nobody's saying anything about what his physical status is. Now, again, I get that. Not that we've had those conversations, because I don't call and ask him about that stuff. We talk about other things. But to your point, Oliver Luck is his dad. He hasn't said anything. Nobody's saying anything about his health. This is a little concern for me. This might be a little bit of want a ringing endorsement that the guy is going to be healthy and ready to play and ready for camp or mini camp or OTAs or whatever it might be.
I mean, isn't this weird, though? How about how, you know, people, two things. People said, isn't that amazing how the Colts can have Peyton Manning 1 year of stinking and then get another franchise quarterback in Andrew Luck? And then at the end of Peyton, obviously there was a lot of concern about his shoulder. And truth be told, I don't think his shoulder was ever the same.
No.
Peyton at the Broncos was almost shot putting the football at times. But Andrew Luck, I mean, this guy is paid a lot of loot. You know, and at some point you'd be very curious to see how they try to move that contract off. If it's as bad as we're trying to make it out to be, they're saying it's going to be okay. They do have cap space, though. But how do you, again, not knowing the future of your quarterback, what do you start building around? Or do you draft that big, you know, because where the Colts are picking, you can go Saquon Barkley and then hope Andrew Luck's arm comes around, or you could, you know, try to get a quarterback, too.
Yeah, no doubt. It is something we'll be watching in the offseason. Meanwhile, Ballard, by the way, said he didn't care for an explanation by Josh McDaniels. When asked, did he explain to you why he wasn't taking the job? Ballard said, I didn't care. You're either in or you're out.
Now, you and I were talking about this off there. Did we mention it on the air that, how about this? This is like man bites dog. Agent of Josh McDaniels basically quits from Josh McDaniels' representation, right?
He does. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look at this story again because you rarely see an agent fire his client in these situations. Guaranteed money he's getting from Josh McDaniels. He did a deal with the New England Patriots. As you said, he's going to be one of the highest paid coordinators, right, if he's not already. But Bob Lamonte is his agent and basically terminates his deal after firing Josh McDaniels for backing out of this deal. He represents both McDaniels and the Colts general manager. So
awkward.
It is.
Right.
But you know how this thing is, man. Agents will say, hey, look, you know, who I represent has no effect on what I do for you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Also, now the other thing is, and we brought this up earlier for guys that missed it, Bob Kraft, you know, he's like a gangster, man. I mean, whatever you think about Josh McDaniels not being a man of his word and punking out, Bob Kraft sticks it to the team which brought up the Deflategate. Remember, it was the Colts that started that whole process. What do you think, that was a waste of time or not? But you basically just did, you just did the Colts dirty.
Guys, his agent has said, quote, McDaniels perhaps made the biggest professional mistake of his career by backing out of the Colts job at this point.
Now, Belichick is saying, and the Patriots, Carl, are saying in this Boston Herald article, that Belichick, in addition to Bob Kraft writing out a bigger check, went out to an 11th hour to Josh and said, we're going to talk about the big picture stuff, personnel. You'll be more involved in the personnel decisions. We're going to talk more about the cap and how that works. So sounds to Patriots fans like he's now the coach in waiting.
Yeah,
up there.
It does. It sounds like the hoodie in waiting. There's no doubt. But for me, if you're Robert Kraft and you're on your game, haven't you had this conversation with Belichick already? Like, Bill, how many more years do you want to do this?
Especially after Sunday.
And right.
And after this weirdness we heard about this year with the Brady old thing with Garoppolo.
And with that, what's the plan? And are you willing to help me with the plan? See, to me, this is stuff that already probably should have been worked out. Either way, it does sound like they're going to share with Josh, to Josh, the things that Belichick has been reluctant to share maybe with other assistant coaches over the years. It's funny, guys, this coaching business, and this is why that Bill, the two Bills documentary was so interesting. What Belichick is about to do for Josh McDaniels is what Parcells did for Belichick.
Right.
When he was an assistant, he said, come here, I'm going to let you be a part of the draft process. You're not making the selections, but I'm going to let you be in on it.
Right.
I'm going to let you in on the salary cap. These are things you have to learn. Now, well, there are salary cap guys in every building, but still you need to have a feel for it. And as an assistant, a lot of guys are just in their corner, Mike. You know, you're a special teams coach. You're the special teams coach. You're the DC. You're the DC. That's what you need to worry about. So I do think you're right in the sense that they had to promise him something big to make help him make this decision.
Meanwhile, here in Atlanta, as we give you our NFL Blitz, brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Arthur Blank, if you missed our comments, saying that says the Falcons are close.
They're close.
They're close to being a Super Bowl team.
This How is, close?
Well, I guess fingers this part, far apart. Close as his mustache. But then we also had the comments the other day saying that the offense, needless to say, has got to improve. So far, I'm liking what the big boss man is saying because he's not lying.
No.
I mean, we are close, but we got to get better on offense.
Yeah, well, listen, what's the bigger thing? I mean, I think he's trying to give our fan base confidence that this thing is not deteriorating. It is not, you know, we're not deconstructing it. We are close. I'd rather our owner say that than come in and go, well, we'll be good in 3 or 4 years. Tune out. I mean, I think he's basically giving us the confidence we need to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Mike, as I've done, to sign the guys that are, you know, we need to sign. Okay, I'm cool with it.
And he also throws out, now again, it might not amount to a hill of beans once, as we said yesterday, Matt Ryan's agent Tom Condon starts talking about a contract. But, hey, Matt, how about taking a little off the top? I'm off the plank, and I approve this message. So trying to keep this team in its present composition together for a number of years. So you can do the things that teams that have that big window that seems to be an extended – okay, only the Patriots really do it. But the idea that we could compete and be in the playoffs every year, you do that if you have obviously good cap management.
Hey, by the way, you talked about Josh McDaniels. Greg Schiano is going to return to Ohio State as their D.C. Remember, there were reports that he might join the Patriots. Not so fast. So he is going back to Ohio State. Hey, AT, what's the deal with the Panthers and their interim GM, Marty Herney? Because I know this is a story that we're watching. They have yet to hire their general manager, right?
Well, Marty Herney is still on an interim basis, and this came out yesterday, that there have been harassment accusations made by him against him by his former wife. So now he's on a bit of a leave with the Panthers, and the NFL is also looking into that situation because they're also, if you remember, they're still investigating the Jerry Richardson situation.
Yeah, that's, so that's two for them. According to court documents up there that the NFL Network has gotten their hands on, as Arthur mentioned, the ex-wife filed a complaint against him in Mecklenburg County. A notice of voluntary dismissal on the grievance. His lawyer's trying to get this thing thrown out. Either way, remember, this is a guy that was the GM, went and did some radio and TV. They fire Ghetto Man to bring this guy back in, and now Richardson's going to be out as he's trying to sell the team, getting out before the posse.
Ex-wife?
Ex-wife.
So how long ago were these accusations?
That hasn't been revealed yet.
Okay.
Harassment accusations made by his former wife. So I don't know, is he calling her late night?
Was this 10 years ago or that's
just last week? I don't know.
All right, man. Interesting stuff. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Cobb County Kia.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
What, the ex-wife?
He's going to move on, man.
Oh, yeah. Close the door. Turn the
page. You know what? Living well is the best revenge.
turn the page. Coming up, man, we're going to go to Indianapolis, talk with our man, Stephen Holder. Indy star, he reports on the Colts, and as we said, this is one of those intriguing stories. The offseason, you know, we always kind of wait around. We're waiting for stories to kind of hit. Combine's coming up, and as Mike said, things will develop, and we'll get stories out of the combine, and then obviously free agency, and then we get to the draft. The NFL's always present, but when things like this happen, the NFL kind of goes, ooh, and everybody starts looking around. I got to be honest. The NFL needs to look at their policy, too, Mike.
Right.
The policy of when coaches can be hired has to be reevaluated.
I'm just excited if we can find some information about Andrew Luck. What's the rumors on the street in Indy about this guy?
All right, man. Stephen Holder joins us next.
Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
You know, on Dukes and Bell, we get to the bottom of things.
You're darn right. We do.
Yes, we scratch around, sniff around, and we get to the bottom of things. Well, at least we try to. And we're going to do this with Stephen Holder, who is up there in Indianapolis, Indy star, Colts reporter, trying to figure out what happened after last night. Mike and I got off the show at 7, big show, And we were texting back and forth. Originally, we were texting about, what was it, AT? We were texting about something. And then this story hit.
It was about the injury to Porzingis.
That's right. And we were like, oh, Porzingis got injured. Okay. And then I'm trying to see highlights. I was waiting for the Golden State game. And then all of a sudden, boom, McDaniels decides to turn the job down.
Yep. So let's find out from a man who knows what's going down up there in Indy from the Indianapolis Star. It's Stephen Holder, at Holder Stephen, by the way, on the Twitter. Hey, so what's the vibe up there? People like, what the deuce? I mean, anger, resentment? What happened?
Yeah, they're pissed. They're definitely pissed. I mean, how could they not be? But I will say they immediately, you know, sort of went into action, into their plan B. And the good news for the Colts is they had a couple guys who they had targeted to interview the first time around when they originally fired Chuck Pagano. And those interviews just did not materialize because those guys were in the playoffs. And we learned today that they're Frank Reich and Dan Campbell. So they were on their original list. They just didn't, like I said, weren't able to carve out the time to meet with them. So there was interest before, and now there'll be interest again. So we'll see where this goes. But this was a real gut punch for the Colts. There's no question about it. And I think no one had any sense this might happen. But it is what it is, and they have resolved to move forward.
Stephen, what's the deal with Andrew Luck, and did his health play any role, in your opinion, in this decision by Josh McDaniels?
No, I don't believe it played any role. That doesn't mean that there won't be any issues there. Look, that still remains to be seen, but what I can tell you is, look, Andrew Luck's status didn't change yesterday afternoon, mm-hmm. right? And the decision had been made, the commitment had been made going into yesterday, to the point where the announcement was made and they had scheduled, as you said, the press conference for this afternoon originally. So nothing changed between yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon that would have, I'm talking about on the Andrew Luck front, mm-hmm. that would have, you know, sort of prompted Josh McDaniels to change his mind. I mean, there just wasn't anything along those lines. So to your question about how is Andrew Luck, well, I mean, the update we got today from GM Chris Ballard is that he's working on his throwing motion and trying to get it back, but they're bringing him along very, very slowly. That is intentional, but they don't have any indication he needs another surgery. So far, so good, but TBD.
All right. Well, Stephen, as an award-winning journalist like yourself and the way that they sandbagged it all last summer, you buying what they're selling?
Well, I tell you this. I think what happened last year has been kind of mischaracterized, and I'll say that as someone who's in the building every day. What I would say about what happened last year is he had a setback is what happened. I don't think what we were being told was necessarily false as much as it just changed. And that's the one thing, you know, you learn about medicine, and the longer you do this job, I mean, it is hard to really forecast how things are going to work. You know, we're so used nowadays to guys like Adrian Peterson, right. You know, tearing their ACLs and coming back in 9 months, you know, like some sort of humanoid, but as it turns out, really, that's not reality sometimes, and this has just been a really frustrating. I do think Andrew Luck was gearing up to play last year. I saw him practice, I saw him throw the ball, and everything looked sort of, you know, normal. He just developed that soreness, and they had to shut him down. So it wasn't, I never thought we were lied to as much as they just couldn't forecast what ultimately happened.
Stephen, what assistant coaches are going to be retained? Did Josh already hire his OC, his DC? How does all that work now moving forward? Are all those guys out of work as well?
Well, he had not hired the offense coordinator, but the defensive coordinator had been hired, and that's Matt Eberflus. He was with the Dallas Cowboys. They have insisted they're going to keep him on, and they have a couple other assistants as well, including an offensive line coach who are already on staff. So they intend to keep them on. And what Chris Ballard explained today is he has a vision of the type of defense he wants to run, and this guy he thinks can do that. So he spent a lot of time, Chris Ballard did, with the Chicago Bears in the 90s, or excuse me, in the 2000s, I should say, and with that Lovie Smith sort of scheme, you know, kind of sort of Tampa 2 scheme. I don't think it's going to be necessarily the original Tampa 2, but it may be a Tampa 2 variation. So it'll be interesting. That's a very, very different scheme than the Colts have run. So that is going to be an interesting scenario there where you have a defensive coordinator and presumably a scheme they're going to run when you're trying to hire a head coach and you already have that guy on staff. That's a little bit of a different scenario than things normally play out. So I think that's certainly something to watch, but the Colts don't think it's going to be an impediment to them. So we'll see.
Breaking it down as Josh McDaniels pulls out of Indy. Stephen Holder from the Indianapolis Star joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You guys have correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, you got a lot of cap space. I mean, if provided the Luck's ready to rock, Saquon Barkley, get the running game, what do you think their number one need would be in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, they have the number three pick in the draft, and they have north of $70 million in cap space. So, the situation looked bleak last year at 4-12, granted, but if you get Andrew Luck back and you have, you certainly have a slate of resources there that you can work with. There's nothing indicating they couldn't, sort of make a big turnaround next year. The division has gotten harder. But to your question about needs, they have needs everywhere. They certainly need pass rush, and that's why that has been they've been linked obviously to Bradley Chubb quite a bit.
Right.
But the Saquon Barkley notion is tempting, and I saw it with Josh McDaniels. I didn't think that was sort of a Josh McDaniels kind of pick, only because he sort of likes
right.
running back by committee and
right.
and guys who are just kind of versatile guys who can do a little bit of everything. But look, now that he's off the table, maybe that changes a little. I don't know. He's a really tempting player, and I just go back to the question. I can only speak for myself. What if he's Adrian Peterson, right? Do you pass on a guy like that? The question and the hardest part is determining whether that's who he is.
Right.
I don't have that answer.
It's a great question, and it's going to be an interesting draft position for Indianapolis. Stephen, in your opinion, anybody have the lead now with this job moving forward? Is anybody in the, top the leaderboard?
Well, this is somewhat speculative on my part, but my money's on Frank Reich. And I think, especially given the fact that, they want a guy who can kind of come in and get Andrew Luck going. That was never the goal necessarily, but it's certainly one of the things that they'd like to see. Well, I think the job that Philadelphia did this year with their quarterbacks, what can you say? What more can you say?
Right.
So that's really appealing. But Dan Campbell is, I don't think is anyone should write off. Chris Ballard does not waste his opportunities, and that's just someone he holds in high regard. So I'm interested to see how things play out with him. But my money, personally, would be on Frank Reich.
The thing is, we were talking about this off the air. We ran into Bruce Arians at the Super Bowl last year. Not to go revisionist history as we're talking about the Colts. Again, Josh McDaniels backs out of the job. We're talking with from the Indianapolis Star, Stephen Holder. Stephen, in hindsight, would Arians have been a better fit? I know they did still go to the AFC Championship game with Pagano as head coach, but it always seemed like, Chuck kind of – it really flamed out bad when it did.
Well, it's a fair question, and it's one that a lot of people have pondered, right? Now – the reality is they could never have made it happen, right? Because Chuck Pagano was coming off his bout with leukemia,
right?
And Arians got the opportunity in Arizona. So, I don't know that there was really an opportunity to ever make it happen. But Bruce Arians is a very, very good football coach, and I think the fact that people have wondered that over the last few years here, fans, media, what have you, it speaks to who he is as a coach and how successful he's been. And they let him walk out the door. And, look, he had another opportunity. It's not as if he spurned them. But I'm just saying.
Right.
He was here. They had him in their building, and then obviously he walked out. So it's a fun conversation and a fun debate. But I guess we'll never know.
Stephen, we appreciate you, man, jumping on with this crazy 24 hours up there for you guys, and certainly the NFL. Watching this story from afar and going, wow, what's the deal? What's happening? Either way, you guys have a new coach coming, and then you've got a draft to look forward to. We'll see what Indy does. Hopefully, Andrew can come back. I've known him since he was in eighth grade, so he's a good kid. I'm hoping he can come back and be healthy.
Yeah, he's a 10 in my book, and I'm rooting for him. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, man.
You got it, man.
Stephen Holder.
Hey, we got plenty more to dive into. Kirby Smart talking SEC Network. Some of the things about this magical recruiting class. Number one in the nation. And then there was more drama on signing day part two. Carl, we'll talk about it. Now a lot of our listeners have seen the video. One kid wanted to go somewhere, but his mama wanted him to go elsewhere.
Black mamas don't play.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.